The world can sometimes is very lonely, but sometimes it gets a little bit less lonely. And whenever I'm with you, that's how I feel. So I know that's how everyone will feel as well. So I'm so happy you're here with us this morning. But all of you.
At least you could have done it. I checked my LinkedIn account this morning. Amateur hour. This is very official with this thing over here. I feel like I have to have a good posture. Also, my wife came back from a yoga retreat, and I'm like walking around like this. She walked in the door, I'm like eating a bag of Bamba slouched over. I felt very self-conscious. I'm like, this is amazing. This is so amazing. This bichlal b'frat, this gathering, these few days, it's just so, so much an indicator as to where we're up to nationally and in our development as a people. The hadgasha, the emphasis on Torah Timecha, on the feminine Torah, on the way that Hashem is revealing Himself, specifically in Eretz Yisrael today, through Ima Adama, it's really the Tzav HaShah. There's really no more important way for us to be expressing our gratitude to Hashem, that we have the opportunity to be Jews who are living, and living with a sense of dveikus and a sense of God awareness, than to be having these types of get-togethers. And it's taking place in so many different ways, in so many different expressions, with such creativity and fluidity. And to have this type of a get-together, specifically here, in this beautiful Beit Medrash, in this beautiful community, with Bina and Rav Shlomo, really guiding it, is an incredible thing. And it's an incredible privilege to be able to be a part of it. So thank you also to Rav Shimon for the opportunity. And thank you everybody for being here. This is really it's really something. It'd be worth coming just to see people that that I love. But that view also really helps, you know. The grass sometimes is greener on the other side. You know? The Ramah, everybody knows, Rav Moshe Israelis, was the most, I'd say, the most important halachist in the 16th century. He also lived at the same time as Rabbi Yosef Karo. They were working on their dissertation on a comprehensive way of living Jewish life at the same time. Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch, and in Krakow, across the world, the Ramah heard that Rabbi Yosef Karo was writing the Shulchan Aruch. He didn't see his updates on his Insta story, that he was working on this comprehensive Arba Chalakim of how to live Jewish life. So the Ramah was working on the same thing in Poland. And when he heard that that the great lion that Rabbi Yosef Karo was writing, he switched it up with incredible humility, like basically shifted gears and turned his commentary or his decisive or definitive in Arba Chalakim on Shulchan Aruch on Shulchan Aruch, it was the comprehensive code of Jewish law, so to speak, and instead wrote it as a super commentary to Rabbi Yosef Karo. It was a person of incredible humility, incredible bittul. A lot spoken about the Ramah as a halachist in terms of his grasp on. We live our lives day to day based on what the Ramah, how he interprets Jewish law, but we don't know enough about the Ramah as an Eved Hashem. When he was 17 years old, the family had to leave their hometown because of a plague. They're forced into exile. Now, so Baruch Hashem, we have a 17-year-old in our house who, you know, thank God is not forced into exile. But I'm just trying to, like, when I read the introduction to this sefer that I'm about to share with you, I kept envisioning my own, myself as a 17-year-old, and then I envisioned my daughter as a 17-year-old. And then this introduction. When the Ramah was 17 years old, his parents had to flee, the family had to flee. And they had no money, and they had no food. They were destitute, and they were on the road. And it was Purim. What are you going to do, Purim, without a bite, without a table, without a shul, without something? They didn't have money to buy mishloach manot. They didn't have money to buy wine, to buy food for a proper suda. The Ramah. But he desperately wanted to fulfill the mitzvah, and he wanted to be besimcha, and he wanted those around him to be besimcha. So he wrote a perish on Megillas Esther. That's how he dug deep. His perish on Megillas Esther is called Mechir Yayin. Literally means the price of wine. And they didn't have Osharad, you know, 8 bottles for 100 shekel at the time. Or whatever it is, you know, 200 bottles for 200. It's like you sit there trying to do math. No, you have that in Osharad? I take out my phone, I'm trying to, like, is it better should I buy 42 bottles? 600 shekels, like, is it good? Bechal, doesn't matter. Exactly. We don't need 4,000 garbage bags? No, we'll need it eventually. Mechir yain, the price of wine. Huh? Yeah, Costco. You get that. You get that little bit of the itch back. I get it. I know. The old habits die hard, you know? So he wrote the Mechir yain, which is an unbelievable work. It's a journey of the soul as read through Megillas Esther as a metaphor. And then all of the different people in the story of Megillas Esther that we're living with now all take on different aspects of the nefesh, of the soul in the world. It's an unbelievable work that's influenced by Kabbalah as a 17-year-old, philosophically, and by the most important halachist in all of Eastern Europe. He basically sees the whole story of Megillas Esther as a journey of the soul in the world, as different stages of development, of a process of moving through this life, through this world, and going through all the ups and downs. Essentially, when we read Mechir Yayin, it opens up our eyes to be able to read Megillas Esther as our personal story. And this predates the Baal Shem Tov. This predates, you know, so much of the language that we're influenced by, or when I say I'm being presumptuous, but I mean the collective we today in Eretz Israel who are talking with this Torah Sagula, well before Rabbi Nachman and well before Rav Kook, it was the Ramah, Pashat Pshat. And we're empowered to see the story of Megillas Esther and of Esther Hamalka specifically as our story. And specifically here we're sitting together, kind of connecting to the feminine side of Torah. It's not a stretch at all to identify with Esther Hamalka in a very personal and real way. The story of Esther Hamalka is everyone's story. It's the story of the Shekhinah. It's the story of how Hashem is manifest and Hashem is expressing Himself through us. It's the story of Nishmas Yisrael. It's the descent and the ascent and the struggle of Klal Yisrael as manifest in one person and one woman to become. Her story really is our story. And Megillas Esther, you know, even though it's timely, it's Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar. It's timely. So of course, Megillas Esther now is not, this is when everybody's having their 3-part series on Megillas Esther, of course. Of course, now we're all learning, you know, like the Gemara and Megillah says, we're learning Hilchas Chag B'Chag, Shlosh Miyom, we're already learning Hilchas Purim, you have to know what to do. Everybody's getting excited, you know. But Megillas Esther is different. It's different because it's always relevant. That's how it's structured, meaning that's how it's infused, is that it's eternally relevant. You know, the Gemara specifically points, Reish Lakish points out that Asidin, that in the future, Megillas Esther is going to remain. Or so much of the story and the narrative that has kind of sustained us and carried us throughout our history and our development as a people, it's kind of going to fade away a little bit and be overshadowed by, you know, all of the Jews from 201, 516, 718, 310, we're all going to come to Eretz Yisrael. That kibbutz Golios is going to be so impressive that, okay, you know, let's not talking about what happened in Egypt thousands of years ago already is going to be, you know, it's going to be secondary. It'll be nice, it'll still be cute. But it doesn't seem from Chazal that we're going to be constantly hawking and shining about Yitzias Mitzrayim anymore. Now, it's every day, everywhere we turn, Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're remembering that incredible redemption. Remembering the Yam Suf, and remembering how Hashem took us out from the 49th level. And when it happens now, when it happens in our generation, and it's happening in our generation, it's going to be so unbelievably overwhelming and overpowering and unlikely that we're going to kind of just like let that, you know, we'll put it in the box and we'll in the basement and then we'll look through it at a certain point, you know. But not so with Purim. Not so with Megillas Esther. Eino asidin libatel. in the future, Purim is going to be the same thing. We're going to stick with it. It has lasting power. Chuasam hayisa lanatzach. Purim is forever. It's beyond proportion. It doesn't fit into the regular vessels of the way that we're going to develop as a people in terms of our personal stages of development, our national stages of development. Purim is something which is always going to stay with us. And that's the way that Esther Hamalka designs it. Kitvuni ledorot. It should be written ledorot, forever. It's going to be something which is inscribed forever. Now it's just parenthetically, the irony that Hashem is not mentioned in the Megillah is specifically because of this point. Is that sometimes it's hard for us to grow with God. I like the way like Reb Zalman Shachter Shlomo would explain like Rabbi Nachman's concept of a growing God. It's like we grow, we get older, but we have a hard time kind of allowing Hashem, so to speak, to grow with us. And we treat Hashem like he's still like he's still the God of our seventh grade, or the God of our high school years, or the God of our single years, or the God of our divorced years, or the God of our years of this struggle or that failure. And we kind of like we put God in that box, kevyachol, so to speak. And we limit Hashem's presence in our life with a constricted consciousness, not of seeing ourselves in a constricted way, but also seeing God in a constricted way. So Hashem isn't mentioned in the Megillah. It's not Adonai, it's not Elohim, it's not Hashem Yitbarach, it's not Bashefer, it's not Eibishter, it's not Abba. Klum. L'dorot. Always, in every generation, in every expression, in every time, in every place. And in every stage. So I thought in the time that we have, to litmaked on this, to focus in on this aspect of Purim, of Esther Hamalka, of Megillas Esther, and to maybe try to open up this this special opportunity that we have now. Just we're there. We're in the red zone now. We're in the home stretch. Don't worry. I mean, the lachatz of like the costumes and the cellophane. Like, let's leave that aside for a second. We're here. We're going to Meron tomorrow. Hakol tov. Take a deep breath. There's plenty of time. There'll be plenty of cellophane left at Osharad. If not, you go to Yesh. If not, you go here. If not, you go there. Hakol tov.
Such an Israel joke.
It is. Well, we're here. We're in Israel. I'm owning it. I'm owning it. Well, you go to Gourmet Klot and spend $48 on the thing. We're here. Yalla, yalla, own it. Whatever. You have to make it. I'm saying, come here. No? Yeah. I'm paying our nona. I'm Mas Hachnasa and Bituach Lumi. And I'm saying I'm all in. So I might as well. What can I do? Make a little bit of fun. Also, I'm a big hero because my wife was away for 2.5 days and I like went to Osher Ad. So like I think that I'm like now the I just came down from the great mountain of Mesiras Nefesh. You know what I'm saying? Like everyone, I returned everyone alive. Thank God. You know, so like I'm gonna keep hitting it. I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna hit Osher Ad. Don't now. It's on my mind. Forget it. One of my teachers many, many years ago, who I have great hakar satov, even more so now than I did then, was that Rabbi Ari Khan. You know Ari Khan, ever come at her? He's really something. When I was 18, 19 years old, I asked him once a question about a question on the Shemus Shmuel on something in Sefer Bamidbar, and he looked at me and he looked and, you know, he just said, well, did you read the perek? Well, the whole parak, like did you read the parak before, the parak after, get the context. And he gave me a beautiful insight. A parenthetical nugget insight about Megillas Esther, because, you know, right away we want to learn Purim, so we take Rabbi Nachman on this, and we take this parish and that parish and this explanation and that explanation, and we kind of like get into the teachings of it. I just, a couple of times over the last few weeks, I just read Megillas Esther. His answer said, just read it with a Tanakh. Just read it. Read the words. When you're looking at a parsha, you're looking at a story, you're looking at a sefer in Tanakh, looking at a parsha in Torah, just read the parsha. Forget it. A little bit, even Rashi, just forget it. Just Perish Amil, just the story. Because Miguel says it right away, the first pasuk, I have shelves of books that crushing me on Purim. Just look at the story. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the story of Megillas Esther, like what the Gemara tells us, you know, read it in order, not a Kori Lamafer, read it in order. read it in order, as an unfolding journey. So there's beautiful patterns that emerge when we look at Torah in that way, when we look at the story in that way, the way that Esther and Mordechai told the story and wanted the story to be remembered. And it's designed for it to be relevant to us. And there's something that that we notice throughout our study of Torah, and Shani Tarragon once heard a beautiful shir that she gave about this specific notion, is that there's a thematic, there's a consistent thematic, say, pattern of certain letters and phrases that show up at certain points in our personal development and historical development in Torah. Now, in Megillas Esther, it doesn't take much to pay attention to it, but if you look at like the way the story, there's a lot of continuation, a lot of movement in the story. There's a lot of and then, and machar this will happen, and machar that'll happen, and then this happened, and that happened. And she came, and then he went, and then she went back, and then he came again, and then Haman showed up, and then Achashverosh went, and then a lot of and. The letter vav is constant and consistent throughout the Megillah. And in fact, the first letter of the Megillah is Vav, Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh. The last letter of the Megillah is a Vav, Doresh Tov La'amo, V'dover Shalom L'chol Zar'o. It ends with a Vav. It begins with a Vav and ends with a Vav. As if to say, like, this is just kind of like in the middle, we're picking up in the middle, and it doesn't end, it's going to also continue. And the middle letter, just like in the Torah HaKadosh that the Gemara tells us, just like the middle letter of the Torah is the Vav of Gachon, the middle letter of Megillas Esther, of this incredible infinite letter, is also a Vav. Vata'an Esther. Notri kol nadavar, Pinchas Friedman from Bells points out, that Esther are the letters Aleph, Samech, Tov, Resh. Aleph, Sof, Toch, Rosh. End, middle, and beginning. Aleph stands for Emes. Emes, Sof, Toch, Rosh. That there's a certain thoroughness, through and throughness in Megillas Esther, which is connected to the letter Vav. Vav literally is the letter which represents connectivity. The Vav Hachibur. Grammatically, Vav represents, at least in a certain way, connectivity. The Vav actually means, we have it in these parshios now, Vayakal Pekude, a Vav literally is a hook which connects, right, different parts of the Mishkan to each other. A Vav is the hook. It's Chibur. Connectivity. Vav is what brings potential to actualization. Vayomer Hashem, Yihi Or. And God said, let there be light. Vayihi Or. And there was light. Vav is what brings the potential of creation into actualization. It connects the theoretical to the real. It connects what's happening before, what's happening during, and what's happening after, and creates one Mikshachas, one long piece, something which is connected. When the Meraglim, right, when Yehoshua and Kalev are coming to Eretz Israel, and they came to Yericho, which really was like the key to the whole thing, was the Othello piece, so to speak, that really opened up, you know, like that created this reverberation of opening up Eretz HaKodesh. So when Yehoshua and Kalev come to Rachav, and this is very much connected to the Purim story, when Yehoshua and Kalev when they come to Rachav and they're looking for a safe passage, they're looking for a place to hide, they're looking for a place to and they make a promise to Rachav. So Rachav is not a friar, or friarit. Okay, thank you. I have three daughters in high school. I should probably know that. I know fadichot. Yeah. When Rachav is looking for a sign, so she says, "V'nasatem li, v'natatem li ot emet." I want to give me a real sign, a true sign. And asatem li, v'natatem li, ot emet. Give me a real sign. Give me something true. Something that's going to have lasting power. If something's true, it's real, then it's going to last. It's going to be forever. Like they say, if a person speaks the truth, you don't have to have such a good memory. Because it was true now, it was true then. It's going to be true 2 days from now too. And I have to remember like how much I told them I got on my SATs and my math score that I made up 15 times, or how tall I am, how much I weigh, because I keep making it up with that. Like if it's true, it was true then, it'll be true tomorrow, it's true now. V'nasatem li os emes, says the Zohar HaKadosh. What is this os emes, this ot emet? Says the Zohar HaKadosh, da os vav. The letter Vav represents an ot emet, something which is true. And then Rachav, so to speak, was asking, you know, hang this rope over the wall, so to speak, to connect the outside to the inside, to connect, you know, the world which is behind the wall and the wall and the world which exists outside the wall. So I can hold on to it, so to speak, and grasp onto it, so that my story could continue. Ot emet, da os vav. Something which is true, something which is connected, is something that's eternal, that's forever. Vav is also relates to the sphere of Yesod, which is foundational. Vav represents the six directions, right? Up and down, northwest, south, south and east, all different directions. There's an expression of something which is authentic, meaning Yesod means that there's something which is connected. I'm not where I'm not supposed to be. I'm where I'm supposed to be. My kochos, my attention, my intention, my energy, my abilities, myself is where it's supposed to be. That's the yisod. When we're talking about, you know, we're talking about Esther Hamalka and her journey, her story. You know, we're very much. I mean. Purim time is our time of trying to connect to that. Our goal, I mean, I don't, again, not to be presumptuous, but I would imagine that's our goal. Our goal is to reach that place of feeling authentic, of feeling true, of feeling real, of being ourselves, of being mechubarim, with that os emes, so to speak, to stand like a vav, just the way a vav stands tall and straight and clear. Vav is not mitbalbel. To know that, like, okay, this is a step, and there's another step, and there's another step. There's something that came before me. There's something that comes after me. Right now, I'm here. To be able to stand clear and strong and true and faithful. Esther is related to the midah of faith. Omenas hadasa. She was someone who she had faithfulness there. Right, there was something strong about her and clarity. That's our goal. How do we get there? What's the process through which we can work toward becoming that os emes, so to speak, a sign of truth, and connecting to the eternity of Purim, to the foreverness of Purim? You know, is it something that beyond a nice idea, beyond a vart, and it's a pretty good thought? Can it have expression in our own lives? Meaning, how do I bring that into my own life, into my house? How do I bring that into my daily practice? So again, just to take a step back and just to read the story, without the pshatim, just the story of Esther. Where do we meet Esther the first time?
She's with her uncle Mordecai somewhere.
Somewhere. Oh, Sharab? They're online. Where do we see her? Like, what type of person is she? Where is she at? Like, what do we know about her? What do we know about her?
She's on her own,
essentially, right? She's very vulnerable. She's being raised by uncle. She comes to this like overwhelm. I mean, just imagine what that was like.
Simple.
I mean, just imagine that scene of being brought. Okay, Vashti's out. Vashti is either she's killed or she's put in some Rapunzel tower forever, for an eternity of loneliness and suffering because she didn't, you know, abide exactly by this tyrant's, this rapist, this tyrant's, you know, whim. And now we're going to find the next girl to come have the privilege of being with Ahasuerus.
In this book I have, it does represent Hadassah as a girl, and that Mordechai takes her on his lap and sort of says, you will be known now as Esther, and this is the journey I want you to go on.
Right, so Mordechai is definitely the presence in her life which is giving her encouragement and faith and confidence. She is a vulnerable girl all alone in the big city. I mean, you imagine it. Maybe I'm telling myself the story. Maybe I saw too many movies. But imagine she comes from some kfar, from some, like, you know, some place out there in the little house in the big woods. And she comes to the big city, to Shushan. If you read Yoram Hazoni's incredible work on Megillas Esther, explains it from like a geopolitical perspective with like an incredible, just he tells the story in a very achshavi way. And just describes what she walks into this incredible factory of abuse of hundreds, or if not thousands, of women from across 127 provinces who are taken from their homes, willingly or not willingly, and forced into this like this factory-like system of sexual abuse, away from their families. They're never going to see their families again. These young women, each one from like a different place, all the place, they're never going to see their parents again. They're never going to see their siblings again. Because one of the Midrashim explains, after Ahasuerus tested them out and had his way with them, they were sent off to the same Vashti-like fate. They couldn't go back to their town and say, oh, I was with the king, it was no big deal. Meaning they literally, that was the end of their life. There was no hope. It was complete yush. They were slaves, literally. Part of the whole process was to remove their identity, to remove their sense of self, their sense of worth. You are nothing more than a kli l'hishtameish bo. That's what the Gemara says, for the king's pleasure. Total bittul, not from a healthy place. And Esther lo higida atama. She didn't say where she was from. She didn't say her identity. Bet moladata. She had no sense of self. She was completely broken down, unraveled as a human being. She didn't say where she was from. There was no origin story, right? There was no core. There was no sense of identity and of self. And the entire, I mean, just read the psukim. Just read the psukim. Am I pretty? Am I deserving? Is the king going to choose me? Am I good looking enough? Do I fit the specific taiva of the king at this specific moment? The notion of like of status and worth and belonging and acceptance is completely dependent on someone else. And they're nameless. Even the women who ultimately come to attend to Esther when she's in the palace, or were attending to Vashti in the palace, it was like, you know, day one, day two, day three. There was no names, there weren't even numbers. Completely dehumanizing. You know, is the Keser Malchus Lavor Rosha? Is the crown going to come to me? Meaning, will I have this status symbol which will give me a sense of worth and survival? Meaning, there's no life if I'm not chosen. If someone else doesn't rank me in a certain way. You can imagine, you know, I mean, you imagine the scene. Standing on a block, measuring from here to here. Every single aspect. When Esther ultimately is chosen, it's not because of who she is. It's not because, meaning the Gemara has all these different ways of trying to explain it. This thing called Chena, she's chosen. And then she's in this life of I mean literally of I mean she's being raped by Ahasuerus. That's the way the Talmud describes it, against her will. And then she's omed mecheko shel Ahasuerus, going to the mikveh and going to Mordechai, and then coming back, sneaking back from the shahr from the gate, and coming back home, back into the palace, waiting to be summoned. She's waiting to be summoned. Lo nekresi lavo lifnei amelech. Like there's this whole sense of worth and value and meaning and life dependent on being summoned. It's a horrific story. It's a heartbreaking story. Mefuzar mefurad ben amim. And the way that the Ramah describes, I mean, the story, this is not just about Esther. It's about Esther. There's a Jewish girl. There's a Jewish woman. It's the story of every one of us, and it's the story of Klal Yisrael. It's the story of Nishmas Yisrael. It's the story of Shechinta Begalusa, of Mefuzar Mefurad Bein Amim, of being pulled in different directions, of not having a place, of not having an identity, of constantly having to prove ourselves, of constantly having to beg someone else for approval and for a sense of worth. She's waiting to be summoned, but she demurs. Even when Mordechai comes to her and says, Esther, here's a moment, here's an opportunity. She can't even summon the inner strength or the confidence to be able to step into this role. It's total paralysis. She's completely stuck. Mordechai HaTzadik, who represents that that voice of sanity, the voice of clarity, that koch of tzaddikim that has in our lives, Mordechai says, Esther, al tidami b'nafsheich, don't kid yourself, don't be medumyenet. Lihimaleit beit hamelech. There's no escaping. There's nothing that's going to fix this. There's nothing that's going to change this. That's going to click your heels together three times, and you're going to be back in your kfar with your iman abba and be able to settle down with a nice Jewish boy and build a Jewish home and have a nice, airbrushed Shabbos table with fluffy white challahs and you'll be able to light candles and the children will all be sitting quietly waiting for you to finish your hadlakas neros and your vizakeni lagadel, and then we're all going to sit at the table and sing songs together, and there's going to be like it's not going to happen. It takes all the airs out of the tires. There's no demyonos. Al tadami ben avsheich. Don't even think for a second. But he says what can happen is that you could say hineni, like Rav Shlomo was saying. You could say you could be where we are, and you could step into this role and accept exactly that where we are right now, and where Hashem has specifically designed for you to be, is exactly where you need to be. And you could reveal their self-worth, and you can reveal in that place a mission and meaning and value, a sense of purpose, and dveikus v'Hashem. Like if right now you stay silent and you don't embrace it, if you don't chaperai and you don't step into it, and you can insert here whatever current language is, speaks to us. If you're not present, if you don't, if you're not fully here with this moment and accept it non-judgmentally, so to speak, if you don't step up into this moment, into the reality, the story is going to continue, but you're not going to be in it. The story is continuing. This is not a dress rehearsal. Life is happening. It's like the treadmill keeps going. You can stand on the side for a second there to like I need a towel for a second or whatever. But it's going. It's going. It's not stopping. I ain't Ferris Bueller, like things don't stop moving. We want it to stop to be able to appreciate everything that's happening around us and be able to just stop the clock. I want to appreciate the kid for what they are right now, because I know in 10 years from now to give a hug they're going to go do this. You want to hold on to those moments and you want to appreciate it even when it's hard, when it's difficult, and there's no escape. What Mordechai is saying, what the Eitz of the Tzaddik is, that there's no escape. And whatever we're going through, it wasn't as bad as that. There's always something to do. There's a way to step up. So what Esther Hamalka understands, bless her, bless all of you. What Esther Hamalka understands is that this is it. There's nowhere for me to run. There's nothing for me to do other than v'chein u'v'chein. Uvachain avol amelech. Okay, I'm going to lean into this. I'm going to embrace the reality that I'm in. Uvachain avol amelech asher lo kedas. V'kasher avadati avadati. I'm going to step in and I'm going to own the moment where I am, and I'm going to be me. I'm going to deal with the cards that I was handed. V'chein avo al ha-melech shelo kedas, against the rules, not according to the way that I imagined it in my dimyon, of the way I thought it might be, and the way I thought it ought to be, or was supposed to be, or could have been, or should have been, or would have been, or I wanted it to be. That script is out. Now achem avo al ha-melech shelo kedas. I'm just going now. I'm calling an audible on the scrimmage line. I'm just going with it. V'kasher avarati avarati. There's a shift that takes place, and Esther begins to believe in herself. She begins to believe that she has this chibur to the king. Now, the meta-narrative is the chibur that all of us have to Hashem, to the melech. She begins to believe, and there are moments where our back is against the wall and we feel completely stuck and paralyzed and unworthy and feeling like we have to constantly prove it. There are moments where, even though we're stuck with Achashverosh in some sense, and even though we have like this Haman voice inside of us in some sense, I should go in front of the king after that. This Reb Nosson Breslover explains is what Esther is revealing from the Eitzah of Mordechai, the world of Uvachin, the way of approaching the king of Uvachin. All of that is true. All of the stuckness and all of the lowness, it's true. And all of the brokenness and all of the exile is true. And the Beit HaTzlamim, it's all true and it's all real and it's all happening. Uvachin. And thus, and like that, and with that, kacha, avo al ha-melech shelo kedas, v'kasher avarati avarati. I'm putting myself completely on the line. V'chatzer Beit HaMelech ha-pnimit. She doesn't just hang around the outside. She said, I'm going all in. V'chatzer Beit HaMelech ha-pnimis. Going to the most inside place. Nochach Beit HaMelech. Going in. How much more inside can she go? The moments of exhaustion and frustration and overwhelmedness that we feel, when we say we have to dig our heels in and dig deep, okay, I'm going to take a deep breath, I'm going to try to tap into that place there. There's a place called Chatzer Beis HaMelech HaPnimis. And then there's sometimes where that spot isn't even deep enough. Where we can't, what am I going to do? I'm going to open up some reservoir of faith and of confidence and of self and of money. And of patience for my kids, and of belief in myself that maybe the next job interview will work out right, or maybe the next person will be the right person. Like, how much deeper can I dig? Nochach Beis HaMelech. Like, there's even more inside. There's the Chatzer HaPnimis, and there's Nochach Beis HaMelech. Uvachin. That's really it's getting toward the meat of what Purim is. And it's the irony of the customs of Purim. Everybody's dressing up like we're something that we're not. Whereas the whole thing is about revealing exactly who we are. All the Yom Tovim, there's a little bit of a bricha. There's a little bit of like we're changing our environment in order to get there. And Pesach is the most obvious when we're kashering our kitchen, blank checking packages and Osharat again and again. I should get a sponsorship, no?
Of
you know, we're like, and Hashem had to take us out of Mitzrayim, had to lift us out on wings of eagles. Shavuos, there's this notion of Pascha Zu Amasam, that Hashem had to like purify us and change us so that we can be worthy of receiving the Torah after having gone through Mitzrayim. Yom Noraim, I mean, people are not eating, you know, people who eat, you know, Kellogg's during the year don't eat paspalter during the Aseres Metshuva. We take on these extra things so that we can be a little bit extra, a little bit different when we stand in front of Hashem on the Yom HaDin. Rosh Hashanah, forget about it. I pack up and I'm out. Chanukah, this whole idea. I'm lighting the candles. I'm the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. And so to speak, there's darkness here. Lamata Me'asara. Right? We light low because there's darkness here. And we're going to illuminate that darkness and change and fix something that needs to be, that needs a tikkun. And Purim, it's exactly the way we are, exactly in the place. It's kacha. It's the world of uvachein of avo al ha-melech. Just go before the king. it's opening up a world of yichud, of oneness. Ben Arur Haman LeBaruch Mordechai, there's Haman, there's Mordechai, who cares? Yes, there's Haman, yes, there's Mordechai, I want to eradicate Haman, I want to get rid of Haman. The first place that we find yichud, kuchabrichu shchinte, in the Megillah, the Remez Ladavar, the Ben Ish Chai points out, is when Esther organizes this whole, you know, this whole seuda, this whole party, this whole feast, and begs the king, Yavo Hamelech v'Haman Hayom Elamishte. Yavo Hamelech v'Haman Hayom Elamishte. Rosh Tevas Yudke and Vavke. That's the Remez to Hashem and the Haman at the party, and Achashverosh at the party. That's where Hashem is found, with Haman, with Achashverosh, Yala Tzuzaman, everybody together, with the failures, with the struggles, with the darkness. I don't have to go to Uman. I don't have to kasher my kitchen. There's no Paskazu Hamasam. Purim is exactly where we are. Right there, we're saying, right, exactly, I'm going to drink a little bit, I'm going to open it up, with all the spots, it's coming out. Kachaza, this is how I'm going before the king. It's opening up a world of yichud, of chibur, of connectivity. Of saying, yes, I'm imperfect, and yes, there's a lot about me which is, you know, needs some fixing and needs some polishing. This house is not exactly the way I thought it was going to be. This marriage is not exactly the way I wanted it to be. My daily schedule is not exactly as good as I think I ought to be, or can be, or want to be, or should be, or will be, or was. And it's part of the story. And right here, kacha, the way I am is the way I'm going to be in Purim. Because that's the real me. And the ritzonos that I have to be close to Hashem are going to be expressed from that place. And that's a lot harder than putting on a kittel, or whatever the female version of that is, putting on a kittel and going and not eating for a full day. That's it. Yom Kippur? What's going to go bad on Yom Kippur? I mean, what's going to be bad on Yom Kippur? It's shul all day. There's no meals with the kids, no meals with the family, no fighting. I mean, maybe there's fighting at home. I don't know. There's a kittel, there's no talking, there's no this. Everything we're just saying, this is not the world, this is not really the world. I'm not really in the world. I'm not really me. All those things I did are not me. Purim, I'm saying, yalla. Uvechein avol amelach. Not just that, but b'chotzer hapnimis. Nochach beis amelach. Kacha, uvechein. Yes, there's a lot about me that needs to be fixed. Yes, there's a lot about these circumstances that might not be according to the book. And yes, it's part of a story, and that's my story. And owning that in the Beit HaTzlamim, with Achashverosh, with Haman, Yavo, Haman, Vamelach, Hayom, Hayom, the way it is today, that's where the Yichud Hashem comes in the Megillah. When we embrace the Hayom, where I am right now, not after Elul, I'll have Rosh Hashanah. After I'll have Aseres Yemei Tshuva, then it'll be good. No, then I have Sukkis to be Besimcha. Then I'll have Shemini Atzeres. No, the Chasimah's Chanukah. All of that is good, and that's part of our story and part of our culture, and that's part of our religion too. But that's not Purim. Purim is right here. Uvechein, Kacha. The Sfas HaYichud that Esther opens up, the world of Uvechein Avol HaMelech, of going inside with the king, that Rav Nosson writes, is only possible when we open ourselves up to Hashem, in our own words, where we are. Beino lebein kono. By ourselves alone, talking to Hashem. The world of Hispodidus is the world of being Nochach Pnei HaMelech. And the Sfas HaYichud, the language of connectivity, of standing like Esther, having gone through that kind of process of loss of self and reclamation of self, of recognizing it's not my job to change right now. Right now my job is to give it over to the king and to know that my kesher, that my relationship with the king, that my bond with the king, that my ability to go inside and address the king, doesn't depend on how the crown looks on my head and what I said on the scale that day and how my makeup is and how my davening was and how well my kid is doing in Opana and what program the yeshiva my son is in or not, or what's happening what's happening with my Shalom Bayis or what's happening with my Torah. My right and my responsibility, my obligation and my opportunity to go Nochach Beis HaMelech and to open up a Sfas HaYichud, real talk, honest talk, Kacha, the way I am, that's what it means to be a Malka. That's what it means to be a chip off of the divine block, to be cut from divine cloth. That's what it means to have Simchas Purim. To cultivate a way of seeing ourselves, a way of being with ourselves and being with Hashem, where from the inside out we can open up a place deeper and deeper and deeper, more and more and more of me, of who I am. Not by changing things on the outside. That's the irony of the customs of Purim. That's good shtick, put on a mask, guy, we're all wearing masks. The real work is inside. And at the end of Purim, I mean, we're still slaves to Achashverosh. It's a big party, yalla, we get some revenge, we get out some, you know, chevre go out into Shushan and get out some testosterone, that's a good thing, it's a Jewish thing, and then we're right back. And so much so that the Gemara says, where's the Hallel? You know, Hallel, we said, by Mitzrayim, because we went from being slaves to free people, over here in Shushan, we were going to be dead, and now we're alive. What about the Hallel? They said the Megillah itself is the Hallel. And anyways, we're still slaves to Achashverosh at the end. The Megillah is the Hallel, and we're still slaves. Meaning there's such a thing as saying Hallel, of giving, of share, of expressing gratitude and appreciation and cultivating a sense of self-worth and Simcha. While everything around us is still Dafuk, while everything around us is still in the world of Achashverosh. Because at the end of the story, you know, we have this big Suda and we sing Lashon HaBa or whatever it is that we sing on Hashem at the end or whatever, the Arbavos or whatever it is at the end, and Esther Malka is still in the palace. She's still there. L'chol Zaro, but it ends with a Vav, meaning the story is going to continue. There'll be a Hamshech, there's before us, there'll be after us. There's something that happened before the Megillah, there's something that happened. But this Megillah is eternal. This story is constant. It's forever. Vatosef Esther v'tedaber lifnei hamelech. It's in Perek Chet. She continues. She doesn't stop. She goes deeper. She's before Achashverosh. She's inside. The chatzer, hapnimis, nochach beis hamelech. Vatosef Esther v'tedaber lifnei hamelech. Over and over again, lifnei hamelech, lifnei hamelech, lifnei hamelech. Vatipol lifnei raglav, and she falls literally by his feet. Vatevk, she cries. Vatitchanenlo, she begs. Lavir rat haman hagagiv et machshavto, asher chashav al yudim. Not just the gzeira. She begs for this gzeira to end. Not just the Holocaust, not just the final solution of Haman. Not just Ra'as Haman Ha'agagi. That's the final solution. Ve'esmachshavta asher chashav al Yehudim. But for that Hamanic way of seeing ourselves, of not being enough, of not being okay. Vayoshat Hamelech le'Esther Sharvit HaZahav, compassion. Hashem extends himself, so to speak. Esther's down. She's down. She's literally down. Gemura. Finished. In kochot. What else? Vatakam Esther. She stands up. Vatamod lifnei hamelech. She goes through this process of down and up. The story of Nishmas Yisrael, of every one of us. That we feel like schlepped out, completely broken, and we can't. By opening the Sfas HaYichud, by opening up, by embracing where she is and crying out to Hashem from there, she's able to stand up. I read this pasuk, Vatakam Esther Vatamor. I think of a Vav standing tall. Because the Vav is not just Vav HaChibur, but it's also Vav HaHipuch. Grammatically, the Vav can also represent the opposite. Here Esther HaMalka is turning everything around. Yeshin Yan Shit HaPech HaKol Tova. The Eitz of the Tzaddik, the encouragement of the Tzaddik, of Mordechai, through all the Tzaddikim Amitim, is that everything can turn around. Never give up on our connection. Our connection's never broken. Vatomer, And listen to the way that Esther is speaking about herself, about her people. Imala melech tov, v'imatzati chein lefanav, v'kasher hadavar lefnei ha-melech. Like, listen, I'm doing my thing. I'm here. I'm going through what I'm going through. I'm being me. I'm doing me, so to speak. And now I'm giving you the opportunity to make a good choice here. Just the way she talks, there's such an empowerment. There's such a confidence. You can read this in a way that she's groveling, that she's begging, that she's kind of saying, if. No, she's saying, listen. Vatomet. She's standing up now before the king and saying, listen. I'm not mitbalbelet. I know what I have to do. She already went through the process of getting to the point that I'm going. Kasher avarti avarti. If you say no, that's your problem. That's your part of the story. I'm doing my thing now. I'm coming before the king and I'm doing me. V'tova ani ve'einav. Varsham explained, here's Esther Malka finally coming full circle, expressing herself that she feels good. V'tova ani ve'einav. I know that I found grace in your eyes. I know that you want me. Otherwise, I would have been gone a long time ago. We wake up in the morning, we open our eyes, we're here, it's Hashem saying, I need you, I want you. Well, we have a few things we have to work out here. We could stand up and we could say to Ribono Shel Olam, Tova ani be'einav. I know that I find favor in your eyes because of who I am. I know all the things that are lacking, and so do you. But I'm not mitbalbel. You're going to do your thing, Ribono Shel Olam. Esther before the king, you're going to make your decision. There's a gezeira, there's Haman, there's this threat looming. Here's my contribution. Here's me. And Esther puts herself out there. V'tova ani be'einav. That language, the Sfas HaYichud, is only possible for us to cultivate this in the context of Hesbodedus, of us talking to Hashem. We can't do it with other people. Working in a group, in a chabura, is important. It's essential. In a Torah niknes el b'chabura. There's certain things we need a friend for. There's a certain place in Avodas Hashem that we need a partner for. We need a lover. We need children for. We need family. We need friends. We need a ki'ila. We need a madrich or a madricha ruchanit. And then, after all is said and done, the buck stops with us. After all is said and done, all the self-help books and the shiurim and the chaburas and the yemei iyun, all of it is getting us closer and closer and closer to the bottom line of us going into the Chatzar Beis HaMelech HaPnimis and doing the work ourselves. Of standing up and saying, Ribono Shel Olam, you have what you have to do, and here's what I have to do. Here I am. V'tova ani ve'einav. I know that I find favor in your eyes because I'm here. Because I'm able to come, shelo kedas, not at shachas, not at mincha, not at maariv, not after a bathroom, and not after a benching at a meal. That's all kedas. That's all according to the script. But I could speak to you from the abyss of failure and from the depths of struggle. After the door slams and that one's screaming and that one's crying and they hang up the phone in their anger, I could speak to you then. You're with me there. And after, after the Oreos are done, I could speak to you then. And after I see that the sun went down and I didn't shout daven that day, I could speak to you then. And after that word came out of my mouth that I never expected to say again, right there, the same moment I could speak to you right there. Shelo kedas. Yeah, it's dirty. And yeah, it's awful. And yeah, it's embarrassing. And yeah, it doesn't look nice. But that's Purim. This is not Pesach. This is not Shavuos. This is not Sukkos. Pesach is the Hanhaga. Purim is the Hanhaga, and it's Ladoros. This is the one that's going to last. This is what's going to last. Not the extra set of dishes, and not the kittel, and not the famous cheesecake recipe. What's going to last forever? What's real is what's through and through. Sof, Toch, Rosh, from beginning, middle, and end, is being able to turn to Hashem bechol matzav uvechein avo melech. Not after I go through some process, after 49 days of counting and working with the spheres, to be able to be zocha, halavai I'll be zocha to receive Torah on Shavuos. Not that way. Not after working aseres yimei tshuva. Not that way. Not malan b'kodesh of Chanukah. Not all those places have their time and their space, and it's holy and beautiful. Eilu Moed Hashem v'chulei. But Purim is what lasts. Chuasam ha'isa l'netzach. V'tikvasam v'chol dor v'dor. If we really want to have hope in ourselves to be able to continue another day and another day and another day, sof, toch, rosh, beginning, middle, end, to be able to continue, it's uvachein aval amelech. It's learning from the way that Esther goes through this process, owns it, doesn't try to change everything and fix everything, but kacha, to go before the melech exactly the way I am. V'tova ani b'einai. To understand that the fact that we are alive expresses Hashem's belief in us, that we're inherently worthy, that our beauty begins from the inside out. In contradistinction, just quickly, in contradistinction, think about Haman, everything we're trying to get away from. Haman had it all: status, wealth, power, family. He didn't have to worry about points on the credit card to be able to go on vacation. Do whatever he wanted. He had the ring. He had it all. And there's one Jewish, one Jid, one dirty Jew in the corner who won't bow to him, who won't get down on all fours and kiss his toes, and he can't stand it. V'chol zeh, everything I have, ain't a shoveli. Not my wife, not my children, not my money, not my power, not my status, not my car. Chol zeh ain't a shoveli. Why? Because I need for you to know that I'm successful. I need for you to see all the success that I have. My money, my power, my wealth. Or let's make it a little less gas. That I'm a good davener, that my kid got into a great opener. I need you to know that my son is going to that yeshiva. I need you to know that my husband, this person, is making a scene in Daf Yomi. All good things, holy things, beautiful things that we think is going to give us value and simcha. It's like waiting for Achashverosh to give the keser on our head to feel good, to be able to stand up. That's Hamandik. That's what we're looking to eradicate. That need for people to like our pictures. That need for people to like validate us. It's beautiful to share. It's a Kiddush Hashem to share family simcha online. It's a Kiddush Hashem to share that people are doing meaningful things. It's beautiful. It's a level of Harbatzas HaTorah for our generation. I really believe it. To share pictures of people of feeling good about ourselves and our successes, to share it with people, vaday. But that feeling afterwards of like, how many people noticed? What do they have to say? Is my neighbor like feeling my game? Are they bowing down to my success? To share vaday. But that's where worthiness comes from. In a holy way, talk about the holy things, the bar mitzvahs and the siyumim, and the tiulim, the Eretz HaKodesh, and the kibbutz adikim. But that need for kavod, for approval, to bow down to us, kevyachol, to our Torah knowledge, to our talent, little bit expresses the feeling of I'm not enough. Purim is Esther time. It's our time. Purim, there's a time where we have the opportunity to wipe out Amalek. We're heading into this like red zone of really having the strength, being empowered to be able to fix it. To be able to like be mamaya, to just push it back a little bit. To allow our souls to shine. It's Esther time, it's our time. To turn the whole world on its head, the Vava Hipuch, and to really, really get into a life of chibur, of being connected, of standing up, of a ta'amod. But it all depends on our going lifnai v'lifnim to the Beis HaMelech, to the Chatzar HaPnimis, of opening up Asfas HaYichud. It's the whole thing. It's not the Hamantashen, it's not the Kastum, it's not the Mishloach Manos, it's not the Matanos Lav Yonim. All of those things are just part of it. What's it? Is how much of ourselves we're bringing to the Ribono Shel Olam, talking to Hashem in the most honest and real way. And then when we finish talking honest and real, when we like have like access that Brené Brown article and like we're really vulnerable with Hashem, and like remembered something really good in Family First, the Wrong Crowd, something like that, that I can like now I can really share and express myself there to be able to go deeper. Purim gives us the chance to go deeper. The Ubachein. V'chein aval melech. Like to take it to the next level. To tell Hashem really what's going on with us. Really what's happening. Not to have to fix it up. Not to have to clean up quickly before, he gets home or she gets home and have to straighten things up. But mamish the way we are. In the Chatzar Beis HaMelech HaPnimis, Nochach Beis HaMelech. Esther level living on the level of Esther HaMalka, means knowing that even the Beit HaTzlamim, even when Haman is sitting there at the table, even when the end of the day I'm still going back to Beis HaChashverosh, I'm going back into that palace, I'm still going to be stuck there, I don't need to run away from that. There I could be Megala Hashem. It's like Chanukah, I have to light the lights close to the ground. Every year I feel like I'm lighting it closer to the ground. Lamata Masar. It's okay. It's dark over there. B'seder Gamor. Hashem, less Asar Panuim Nei. Hashem is this whole thing. Or Haman, Boruch Mordechai, whatever. Ein od Milvado. And not only is there a Beis HaMelech, and not only is there, I'm the Malka. I can go into that Beis HaMelech any time I want. The darkness doesn't bother me. The light doesn't bother me. Yalla. I'm talking a lot about Heshtavos this week. Yalla, it's dark, it's light, it's Haman, it's Mordechai. I'm in the Chiko Shal HaShverosh. Yalla, Hineni, I'm here. Hashem should help us this year that we be Zocha to wipe out the Klipa of Haman Amalek, to wipe out that need to, just a little bit more, just wipe it out completely. I believe we'll be able to wipe it out completely. Even just a little bit to turn down the volume on that voice, that need to have someone bow down to make us feel good. To be able to step into the world of Esther, to be mechubarot, to really be connected, to know that we're connected. That we don't have to do very much to express that connection, just to believe that it's happening, that it is. That's the Os Emes. That's the Os Emes. That's what connected Rachav to the spies, the outside to the inside. Sof, Toch, Rosh, beginning, middle, and end. Every part of our story, every part of our lives, in our homes, in our community, in our job, in our past, in our future, to just be ourselves and to know that that's enough for the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'tova ani be'inav, to know that the Melech just wants us to come and be ourselves. B'li trikim, v'li shtikim, like it says on the wall in Oshman. B'li trikim, v'li shtikim, b'li lehitbalbel, to stand up, to lay down on the floor and then to get up. It's the most Purimdik thing. On the floor, standing up. But the main thing to be a Vava Chibur. And that way we'll be Zocha to live with Esther, to a little bit be Esther, and to see Mirtz Hashem, the next chapter of this incredible story for our nation, incredible story for ourselves, and for all of those who we love and know. Mirtz Hashem to be revealed from the inside out, from the Chatzar Beis HaMelech, the inside place of Nochach Beis HaMelech, to believe that we deserve to be there and that we can be there. And Mirtz Hashem, on Purim, God willing, to all be there together. Okay. Enjoy. Have a sweet day, everybody. Sortavot.